Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by just say your names and your roles with the show.
Hi, Jason. This is Cody Nickel. I'm in The Winter's Tale at the Folger Theater, and I'm playing Camillo.
And I'm Kate Eastwood Norris, and I'm also in that play, and I'm playing Paulina and a shepherdess named Dorcas.
Nice. And it's The Winter's Tale, as you said, the Shakespeare classic. It's going to be at the Folger Theater Sunday, November 5th through Sunday, December 17th. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Okay, before we get into the actual story, tell me sort of what we were talking about right before we hopped on here, about how this is the first show back in Folger Theater. Now, it was, I guess, somewhat COVID, but mostly because you were doing renovations, right?
That is correct. Unrelated to COVID, the Folger is renovating and doing a bunch of stuff to the full building in the library. So we were in the last show, The Merry Wives of Windsor, which closed in March of 2020 as COVID was happening. And they shut the building down. And this is the first show back in the actual theater space.
It was a happy synchronicity for the Folger, actually.
Yeah.
We the last show we did was Merry Wives of Windsor in March 2020. And then they were going to shut the theater down for the renovations of the entire building. And that also happened to be when COVID just
ruined everything.
Pulled up a seat to the table.
And
you were planning on doing the renovations regardless.
That is correct. The Folger Library itself was doing massive renovations to the entire building. It's a beautiful renovation with a lot more public access to the collection. And it's really quite beautiful.
And they're not entirely done. Next year they're going to open the whole building, but they do have the theater open for now.
The theater will be open to the public starting when we start our performances.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Gotcha. So just to clarify, so we will, the actual full renovation to the full Folger Shakespeare Library building, the whole building will be like, I think early 2024 or something like early,
that is correct.
Maybe spring or something. Spring.
Yeah. That is what we're hearing. Hopefully that remains on target. Right.
But the theater is open now.
That is correct.
Well, with this show, it will open. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, that's definitely something that we can peg this to, is the grand reopening of the theater. And so I guess, how exciting is it to be back? And you've also been doing some shows in the interim, like at other places around town, right? But this has got to be exciting to be back in the actual theater.
It is. Yeah, both of us have done shows around town at various places, Roundhouse and Theater J and other places. We both have worked quite a bit at the Folger. Walking in on that first day of rehearsal back into the building after, I don't know, almost three years. It's just been, we walked in and got a little teary.
Yeah. You know? I didn't know if I'd ever be back, you know, because you never know if you're going to be in a play, and the management changed, and I was like, well, that's it for me. And then I was able to walk back in. I was very excited.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful space. It's one of my favorite theaters to perform in, and to get to be in there again is really special.
And has the theater itself been renovated, or you're just saying that it was closed as a function of the rest of it getting renovated?
That is correct. It was a renovation that was mostly focused on the rest of the building, specifically to kind of allow more access to the public to the library. There were some small things done in the theater, but no, the theater is almost exactly as it was when we left.
The classic historic theater we all know and love there. Okay, cool. And just one more little thing. I know that the both of you have performed at various theaters around town, but also didn't Folger kind of do things like different pop-ups, like building museum? Like tell me what Folger was doing while it was shut down.
They produced a production of Midsummer Night's Dream at the Building Museum. They had some other pieces that they did around town, some original pieces related to Shakespeare that they performed in some libraries around town. They've maintained some programming as much as they can during COVID and while their building was closed. They co-produced The Tempest with Roundhouse. Nathan the Wise at Theater J. So they've had their producerial fingers in various pies over the last few years, but this will be the return to the main deal over at Folger.
Gotcha. All right. Well, without further ado, I mean, we could talk renovations all day, but let's get to the actual show. It's called obviously The Winter's Tale. A lot of folks might have heard of it or seen it or read it. But just pretending, let's pretend some people maybe this is their first brush with it, maybe, like, and just so I have a soundbite for the radio. Give me one of you, I don't know which one wants to take it, but like the basic premise of the actual show, the log line, if you will.
So Winter's Tale is a story about redemption, I guess, is one way to put it.
Forgiveness.
The first half of the play, it involves two kingdoms. We're in Sicily, and the other kingdom is Bohemia. And the first half of the play, King Leontes in Sicily almost immediately gets very jealous of his queen and his best friend, the king of Bohemia, and he thinks they're having an affair, and things go off the rail very quickly. So at the beginning, it's a tale of jealousy. It's a tale of this mad king kind of dealing out damage in his kingdom. And then he realizes he's wrong and begins to repent. And the second half of the play is 16 years later, takes place in Bohemia, where we're now seeing the king's, Polixenes, the other king's son, grow up and fall in love. And then we all head back to Sicily to kind of reunite and make amends and offer this king who, ruined some lives, some forgiveness. And a chance at redemption. And it's a play about trying to find how you can forgive people.
And being Shakespeare, of course, the jealousy is very, very, very jealous.
Yes, it's very angry. Lives are at stake.
The green-eyed monster, which is often referred, which Shakespeare talked about, that's from a different play, but there is definitely a green-eyed monster going on in Leontes in the first half.
Yeah.
Awesome. And remind us which, I guess, take turns one at a time, dishing on your specific role that you play, like what makes your role so compelling?
Sure. So I get to play Camillo, who is kind of the right-hand man to the jealous king. The king wants me to kill his best friend. And I say, I'll do it. But then I renege on that. And I run away with the other king. And basically, my character is kind of one of the moral centers of the play. He gets to make these really beautiful speeches about, how we should be living in the right way to do it. And he gets to have fun and kind of watch everybody from the side. Kate's character is kind of also the moral center.
Yeah.
Another of the moral centers.
Paulina is the wife of one of the kings, sort of, I guess, in our play, a general. And she's also sort of like the right-hand woman to the queen and is a big fan of the queen. And she basically goes in there and rips his head off. She is furious with him. She speaks truth to power regardless of the danger for herself and has some of the most incredible lines I've ever said and just gets to walk around, telling truth to power, which is very exciting for me.
And in a fun twist, we are married. Kate and I are married in real life. And spoiler alert, but at the end of the play, the king, who has been forgiven and reunited, and he decides to give the two upright, truthful people a wedding together. So we get married at the end of the play.
Yeah, I mean, even though
we've never spoken in the play.
Even though he's responsible for the death of my first husband, he's like, here, take this guy. So like, thanks.
Yeah, wow. So we get married at the very, very end.
Wow. So I guess I should say congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, indeed.
You get to get married. You get to get married again to each other every night on stage. That's great.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. We did that when we met.
Yeah, actually. We met on a play where our characters got married at the end of a Shakespeare play, As You Like It. So we've had practice.
Well, tell me more about that. What was the show? When was it? Where was it?
Was in Santa Cruz, California.
I don't know when it was.
17 years ago. And it was As You Like It, directed by Aaron Posner, who's a regular feature in DC theater and National Theater. He had worked with Kate and he had met me, and he brought us in to play these two roles, which were Rosalind Orlando, the love interest.
And he said, the story goes, I was pre-cast. And he was trying to find an Orlando to work across from me. And he goes, who would be a good person to work with Kate? And he went, I know Cody Nickel. And so he hired Cody and we met, and
the rest is history.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we got engaged the following summer back in Santa Cruz doing another set of shows there, and then got married in Maryland the following year. So 15 years. We just celebrated our 15 year anniversary.
Congratulations. So you basically you got married on stage before you got married in real life, and now you're getting married on stage again every night.
That is correct. Yes, and with a few shows in between that we've also gotten married in, I think.
If you had to guess, how many times have you been married?
I mean, if you're talking about literal performances, you mean hundreds.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think we could have really fun with that on the air. Like, this couple has been married together hundreds of times.
Yeah.
Taming of the Shrew, we were married.
Taming of the Shrew. We've played married people that there wasn't a wedding on stage.
And there's not
plays.
In the Winter's Tale.
Yeah, there's, I mean, the wedding is alluded to at the
it's
very
like
end.
You will get married.
Yes, we're going to get married soon.
Yeah.
But we have been affianced many times.
That's hilarious. What else about the show could we, visually, what do we see? You know, you did a great job explaining the story and the characters and themes and forgiveness and all that, but like visually, how does it come to life at Folger Theater? What do we paint a picture? What do we see?
Sure. The design team has done a great job. This is a modern dress Shakespeare. We're all in modern day clothes, suits and dresses and power skirts and things in the First Kingdom, Sicily. And then when we go to Bohemia, as is often the case when the Shakespeare plays go from the town to the country, we have much more vibrant colors and a much more exciting palette of characters, and silliness is happening.
And there's some dance numbers.
There's some dance numbers and some great music that's being played internally with the cast, as well as the Matt Nielsen, the sound designer, is composing lots of really fun music throughout the show.
Singing. And there's a clown character, Autolycus, who is
riding around on a bike
with his guitar, and he's an incredible musician, and he's doing great.
So it's a really fun filled feast for the eyes, I'd say. A beautiful set design by Raul, our set designer, and Sarah Cubbage, the costume designer, has done really great. It's a real, the physical production I think is really solid, and a lovely transformation of the Folger space.
Nice. And so you say, so the dress is modern and everything. So I assume it is set modern. Like, I guess you're just pretending these are like modern world day leaders instead of old kings.
Yeah, that's the idea. The vibe is kind of DC now, the president and kind of a cabinet.
But this were they also happen to worship Apollo.
Yes, these are Greek.
Who plays a big role. I mean, he's never on stage, but there's an oracle and things that they're talking about. So these are Greek people who believe in the gods, but we are also dressed.
But yes, very much set in a modern sensibility. And Tamela Woodard, our incredible director, has really leaned into trying to make it sound like us, not trying to put a very heightened, very musical speaking on top of it, but really drop it into the now, drop it into each individual actor's vernacular, really trying to make it sound personalized so that there's more access. You know, a lot of people can feel like Shakespeare lives kind of above or apart from us, and she is doing a great job of really making it seem like we're just talking like we talk now.
Gotcha. Well, both of you earlier in the interview, you both mentioned that you get to deliver some of the, you know, the coolest lines of dialogue that you ever have. I think you each said something along to that effect. So remind us, you know, each of you, like what's like is there like a famous line or two, or even if it's not famous, like a favorite line that you get to say?
Well, I like, I won't do the one where I am really on a roll because it's pretty long. It's one of those seven line Shakespeare sentences, you know, it's just one sentence. But a line I really love is, it is required you do awake your faith. And it's, to me, that's about theater. I mean, it speaks to audience members, to the idea of just dropping your disbelief and believing in something for a minute.
Even though we all know we're pretending.
Yeah, even though we're pretending and you're pretending that we're real, if we all believe together, we can create some magic. in the theater. And I just love that line.
I have a speech in the early part of the play. The Mad King Leontes has kind of reamed me and has told me that I'm either a liar or a fool or a coward. And I give this speech that basically says, all men are liars, fools, and cowards at certain points in their life. And it's this great kind of temporizing speech where he basically says, okay, you need to calm down. We all make mistakes. And it's a really beautiful speech. And I'm thrilled to be able to do it in the Folger.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I mean, I have more than enough to work with, but I guess just, you know, dish on each other, you know, husband to wife and then wife to husband. Like, what makes, you know, embarrass them with kindness. So, you know, what makes, sure, what makes each of you, you know, so such a good, you know, actor?
Well, we work very differently, but we come to what we hope is great in very different directions. And I just admire how much Cody, he's a lot more subtle than I am. And he is a great listener. He approaches theater through listening and reacting as opposed to shoving his own character story on top of everyone else. And because he's listening, he helps the audience listen to, and you lean in to what Cody's saying. And he has such facility with the language that I always understand what he's saying. And I just would say that he's one of the most solid actors I've ever seen. And when he comes on stage, I feel like I'm just in good hands. As an actor on stage and also in an audience, when I'm watching him, I'm not nervous. I'm not watching an actor work hard. I'm just watching this character be. And that's just an absolute delight for me.
Wow. I've
how do you follow that?
I will humbly take all of that. That's really awesome. Kate is a true inspiration on stage. She is dynamic and always strives to find humor in at every turn, even in tragedy, even in the deep pathos. You know, we are humans that laugh and want to have fun, and she is always trying to find that humorous or ironic or angle to things. And she has a gift with humor and comedy that kind of excels anyone I know. She's also more tenacious than anyone I know, both as a person and a woman and a wife and an actor and a daughter. I mean, everything she is, she kind of goes at full bore. It's one of the reasons I think she's so great as Paulina, because here the character is somebody who kind of tears down the doors. She's walks into a room full of men who are like, we don't want to listen to you. Don't be here. Get her out of here. And she pushes her way in and makes the most sense of the situation and tells it like it is. And that's very much like Kate. Her tenacity as a person is one of her greatest strengths as an actor, because she goes after things. When you start to learn about acting in school, you start to learn about objectives and one of them and actions. And one of the main things to be a good actor is to not think about emotion and not think about the side things, but is what does your character want? What does your character need? And what are they going to do to get it? And Kate's tenacity as a person lends itself so well to that kind of tenacity that you need as an actor. And she's just eminently watchable. Like once she's on stage, she's like a bright burning flame and you can't take your eyes off her. Oh. It's amazing.
Awesome. Awesome. I figured it'd be fun to let you guys both just dote on each other for a second. All right, cool. Well, I have plenty to work with. I guess just in closing, like, speak directly to our listeners and invite them out. You know, maybe they're here. They hear this in the car, listening to WTOP, driving around the Beltway or whatever. You know, what gets them down there? You know, speak directly to them, invite them down.
Sure. We're in tech right now, which means we're adding all the lights and the sound and costumes to the piece that we've been building in rehearsal for the last several weeks. So it's all beginning to come together. And we were working on the opening moment in the show, which is a birthday party. And young Mamilius, the prince, is turning 8. And so there's this huge celebration that's happening. And Tamala, the director, she turned to all of us after a round of trying to sync up the music and the dancing and all that stuff. And she said, you know, this isn't just about a story about Winter's Tale and this party. This is a story about welcoming the audience back into this space after 3 years of not being able to be there. And the joy that we are giving people to come back to the Folger and celebrate with us needs to be apparent in that moment. And I think that's what I think a great story and a great play that'll take people all over. It's got tragedy, it's got humor, it's got love, it's got romance. But it is a return to the Folger, a return to this beautiful space with an incredible group of artists that are putting this play together and gonna throw joy at this audience.
And if you haven't been to the theater ever,
yeah,
or maybe the Folger, just come to the theater, because it's an unusual art form. It's like no other. It celebrates the live experience.
Yeah.
It's not a movie. You are not an observer. You're a participant.
Yeah.
And we can't do it without you.
Yeah.
And so come help us make this magic, because we need you.
Awesome. Hey, thanks so much for doing this. Again, it's The Winter's Tale by William Shakespeare. It's going to be at the Folger Theater November 5th through December 17th. So get your tickets now. Hey, thanks for doing this.
Jason, thanks so much for
having
us.
Thank you.
All right. Be well. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.